everywhere on the face of this planet. We are following the Christian calendar, with the exception of perhaps Saudi Arabia and Iran. In few days, the year 2015 will end, and the year 2016 will start. Yesterday was Friday, which passed, and today is Saturday, which also will pass. Moment ago, we had dinner, and we now finished dinner. The time flies, doesn't sit. Every day, every year, we grow. The children grow in size, in knowledge, in spirit. They become young people. They keep growing and become mature people. They keep growing to be old. And finally, like the year ends, we end. So perhaps the greatest value of the flight of time is to remind us we are both growing and our life is getting shorter. Time is a great reminder of our temporality, that we are not eternal, that we will disappear at one point. Time is perhaps one of the greatest gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Very valuable. Because everything else which we consider to be valuable our parents, they go. Our children, they go. Our houses, they go. The money which we own, it goes. But all those things which goes can also be replaced, with the exception of time. that moment when I started talking till now is gone. You cannot have it back. You cannot buy it back. You cannot bring it back. It is gone forever. We are temporal, and the time given to us is limited. And it is extremely valuable, and we throw it away. We throw pearls to the pigs. We don't know its value. In the Quran, there is a surah which is called Asr. It's been interpreted in the following way. Allah Ta'ala says, be very aware of the passing of time. If you are not, men will regret it. Men will regret that time which is flying away. They should have done things which should have been done, and things which should not have been done should not have been done, except the ones who will not regret the passing of time are the believers who do good. Who do good? Doing things which Allah has ordained us to do, and shying away from doing things which Allah has forbidden us to do. And to follow the path of truth, and to help each other to follow the path to truth, and to help each other in the difficulties which will be encountered in following the path to truth. Now, in a few days out there will be a lot of people precisely are going to make New Year's resolutions in regret of the things which they should have done in 2015, which they haven't done, or in regret of the things which they should not have done during 2015. If they have been smoking, which they shouldn't have, they will make a New Year's revolution to stop smoking. If they have been drinking alcohol, which they shouldn't have, they will make a resolution to stop drinking. If they are fat, and there are lots of people who are fat out there, they have been eating too much, which they shouldn't have, they will make a resolution to not to eat much. If they haven't been making too much money, they will make as a resolution to work harder and to make money. If they feel that they didn't have enough fun in 2015, in the last evening of 2015, they will drink themselves to death and debauch and gamble and try to make up for it. While we are told what to do, there are 1,000 things to do, it is said, and 1,000 things not to do. In reality, there is much more than 1,000 things to do and 1,000 not to do. It's more than 1,000 also. How many do we know? 10? 100? But at least we know some of these things to do and not to do. And the year passing, we have tried to do things which we should do, and we tried not to do things which we are not supposed to do. But in reality, us Muslims, although we know exactly how to pass our lives as a Muslim, because one is not a Muslim just making one's prayers 5 times a day and fasting during Ramadan and paying one's zakat and going to the Hajj pilgrimage once in one's lifetime. The surah which I recited doesn't say that the ones who will not regret the flight of time are the believers who makes their prayers and who fast during Ramadan and who pay their zakat. It doesn't say that. It says to do good for Allah's sake, what He asks us to do, and not to do what He asks us not to do. Which means that every minute, every second of our lives, we have to remember that we are Muslims, and we have to know what a Muslim does and what a Muslim does not do. Which none of us, the best of us here, we do not know. It suffices not to drink wine and not to eat pork and not to commit adultery and not to kill. Because, I mean, how often do we kill, you know? How often do we drink and how often do we debauch? But many things we do during the day. We eat, we sleep, we wash ourselves, we work, we walk, we sit, we lie down. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me when we are standing, when you are sitting, when you are lying down. This is the three positions which during the day we do. We either are standing up, walking, etc., or sitting down, or lying down in our beds, that we are supposed to remember that there is God and that we are His servants and that we are Muslims. It is essential that we have to know what a Muslim should think, what a Muslim should feel, what a Muslim should say, what a Muslim should hear, what a Muslim should do. It suffices not just to make your prayers and fast during Ramadan and pay your zakat and go to the Hajj. Once, this you have heard before, but I think I should repeat it perhaps 1,000 times till it becomes a part of you. This is a knowledge which has been given to me by my Shaykh Muzaffar Efendi Rahmatullah Alayh. Perhaps the most important thing which I have heard from him. One day, a young, intelligent German woman came to our mosque in Istanbul and asked my Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh to tell her what Islam is. And briefly, Effendi explained that Islam means submission, to give up one's will for the sake of Allah's will. Briefly, instead of doing what I want to do, to do what Allah wants me to do. That is why in the surah which I have mentioned before, it is a very, very difficult thing to do. Obedience is very difficult. How often have we obeyed to our parents? How often have we obeyed to our teachers? How often have we obeyed to their husbands or to their wives, to our bosses, to the law of the country? Very difficult. That is why Hazrat Shibli says that the true worship is not what we do in there, going up and down, up and down, up and down. true worship is to do what becomes difficult for you to do. Anything which becomes difficult for you to do, if you do it, that is true worship. And that is why in the ayat which I have just told to you, that we have to help each other to show patience, to be able to do what Allah asks us to do, because we do not like to do it. Our ego does not like us to do it. So, Effendi told to this young German woman who wanted to know, for a Muslim, how he will decide what to do and what not to do. And Effendi said that in Islam we have two touchstones. Do you know what a touchstone is? Touchstone, the jewelers have it, is a little black stone. And if you have got a gold ring, you rub on it and it tells you whether it is real gold or not. And he said that the woman asked, what are those two touchstones? And Effendi said, one is the word of Allah Ta'ala in the holy book, the Quran al-Kareem. And the other one is the Hadith al-Sharif, that is to say, the sayings and the actions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The woman said, well, I do not know Arabic, but there are translations of the Quran. Like many of us here, we do not know Arabic. We read the Quran in Turkish, in English. So she said that she has browsed through the Quran in German. And she said that I really had a very hard time to find in the Quran to exactly what to do and what not to do. And indeed, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran itself that the meaning of the Quran is so vast. After all, it's a little book, but the meaning of it is so vast that if all the heavens were paper and all the oceans were ink and all the forests were pen, and they would write the meaning of the Quran, the oceans will exhaust the paper, the heavens will exhaust, and the meaning of the Quran will still not to be complete. So she was right. We can learn some things in the Quran, what Allah Ta'ala tells us to do and not to do, but certainly it is not going to be thousands. Then the question of the hadith, of the sayings and the actions of the Prophet. Because the Prophet alayhi salam, he did not say anything or did anything except what Allah Ta'ala made him say or do. She asked, how many hadiths are there? Well, how many volumes is Bukhari? 10? How many volumes in Muslim? There are literally tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of hadith. To read them and to remember them, said the German woman, is impossible. And Effendi had to agree. Then she said, then what should I do? Efendi said, read your own Quran. Your own Quran. Each of us. Our very own Quran. She said, what is my Quran? Efendi said, your conscience. When I am thinking about something, I have to ask my conscience, are those thoughts kosher, so to speak? No, does Allah approve about those thoughts? When I am feeling something, an inclination towards my neighbor's wife, for instance, no? I ask my conscience whether that was the right feeling or not. The woman, although she was young, she was intelligent. She said that there is a curtain, an iron curtain, between my head, who's asking the question, and my conscience. And somehow that curtain distorts the answer of my conscience. We know that so well. Our egos, we will ask ourselves whether I should do something or not. No. Build the second floor, which will cover the total view and the air of the neighbor. Why not? Yeah. Well, the conscience say, after all, it is your house. You know, you can build the second floor on it. Who cares what the neighbor is? You know what I'm going to say? Huh? So she knew that, and she asked that too. And Effendi again had to concede that she was right. Then she said, what should I do? Please try to remember this, because I may not be able to repeat it again. I'm getting too old, and I may not have time to repeat it to you. And it's extremely important. Whenever a thought comes to your mind, whenever a feeling comes to your heart, whenever you are about to say something to somebody, it takes a second to ask yourself whether that thing is good for you or not. Even your ego will tell you whether it is good for you or not. So if the answer is yes, that's already half good. Then ask yourself again, that thing which I am thinking, which I am feeling, which is I'm going about to say, which I am about to do, is it also good for you people? If the answer is yes, by all means, do it. Allah Ta'ala will approve it, said Effendi. Simple. Isn't it? But if it's only good for you and not good for others, no, you don't do it. But we do it all the same. Very often, most of the time, we really don't consider. Even our wives and parents, our children, we don't. Because we think it is right and we do it. Even if it is bad for them. But what is most important, which I would like you to really remember, Effendi said, but there is something which is much, much better, which Allah Ta'ala loves you for it. when something you're thinking or feeling or about to say or about to do, when you ask yourself, is it good for me? The answer is no. It's not good for you. In fact, it is very, very bad for you. In fact, it may even kill you. But it is good, very, very good, for millions of people. Do it. Even if it kills you. That is what Allah Ta'ala loves and is what a real Muslim does. Salaam alaikum.